Good morning. Interestingly enough, I was chatting with Mark this last week, and we did not put our heads together these last couple weeks, but last week Mark spoke on the need to reassess some things in our life, and then Jim Nelson came up representing the elders and spoke about some things that we can get involved in as a church last week. And again, not trying to coordinate these things. Mark had asked me to speak the last Sunday of the year, and I wasn't even thinking about the fact that this was the last Sunday of the year. But as we start thinking about the new year and priorities and things like that, I thought only after the fact, how appropriate would it be to take a look at our lives and do a little bit of assessing in our lives. And so I've entitled this Managing Our Stewardship Portfolio, and Mark was the one that did the background for the PowerPoint, and I thought, wow, that looks like it's your personalized file envelope there. But the scripture says a lot about our involvement with the Lord. And this is just kind of a reassessment this morning, some thoughts concerning where we are in our lives and what we can do to reassess and to add, maybe subtract a few things, and to just take inventory from time to time. Over and over again, Scripture tells us to take heed and to think about our lives and to assess where we are vis-a-vis the Lord. The main text this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Before we get here to verse 12, let me read verse 8 to you. Paul is talking about he and Apollos, and he says, you know, we all do different things in the body of Christ. He said, I plant the seed, and Apollos waters, but you know, it's not really about me, and it's not really about Apollos. It's about God, because he's the one that brings about these sorts of spiritual things. I mean, after all, I think what Paul's after there, when you think about it, is that spiritual regeneration and growth is not something we can affect anyway. We can encourage each other in it, but it's a supernatural process which is affected by the Spirit of God. And Paul says this in verse 8. He says, the planter and the waterer are one in aim, and yet each one of us will get his own pay in accordance with his own work. That's an interesting verse, because we don't think in terms, in Christianity, we don't think in terms of working for pay, but I think there's a crucial distinction here that Paul's going to make. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. I think oftentimes in Christianity we avoid the question of work for several reasons. The Reformers had some things to say about this, but this is a different idea. We avoid the idea of work because we have this caveat, a very important caveat in Christianity regarding salvation. And we say, it's not about work. It's not anything that we can do. It's not having our salvation with the Lord, our standing with the Lord, has nothing to do with our labor. And yet we read a passage like this, and it seems that Paul is saying, the one I just read, verse 8, Paul says that we will be paid for our labor. And you say, oh boy, how do I work this out theologically? Because salvation, one thing salvation isn't, is pay. In fact, we're specifically told in Scripture that if we were paid for it, it would be something we've earned. But this is not something we've earned. So what's going on here? This is actually one of the clearest passages in Scripture on the difference between salvation, which is not by works, and the things you do after salvation, which is the subject of Paul's discussion here regarding rewards, regarding crowns. I've used the sentence before here. I'll repeat the sentence again. There are some Christians disagree on this, but I think there's a large amount of agreement. The sentence goes like this. What you do with Christ after salvation determines the capacity to which you will enjoy eternity. Now, this is another subject, but I deeply, deeply believe that eternity is to be enjoyed. It's not a guilt trip. It's not something like, oh, wow, I don't want it to happen. It should be something we're looking forward to. It should captivate our lives. And if we realize that we could change the quality, the traditional categories, rewards and crowns, if we could change what we do for eternity, how we experience it, we would all be more committed. Let's back up. When we exercise faith in Jesus Christ, that's free. It's not a work. It's nothing we can do. There's very easy reason, as I said. It's simply because there's nothing we can do to affect that sort of a change in ourselves. It's that easy. We can't bring it about. But in Scripture, there's sort of a two-step process. First is the gospel. That's what God's done for us. And that's always a minimum. The things we're asked to invest in, to believe in, to commit to, are always, at least, the deity, death, and resurrection of Jesus. I was just talking to a person this week, telling them how surprised I am when someone shows me a track or I read something, how often some of that's left out. So often it just mentions the death of Jesus. And Paul said, if Christ has not been raised, our faith is vain. So on the salvation side, we have at least the deity of Christ, death, resurrection. And when we say, I do to Jesus, that is not a work. It can't be a work. We have nothing in us that can affect that sort of change. It's two sides. What God did for us, and then even our saying yes to him, we're told in Scripture, is not our own act. But after we come to Christ, we're asked, what have we done with our life? And that part is the topic for today. What have you done? What have I done? What does our investment portfolio look like? You know, we're encouraged to ask that question and answer that question all the time. But what does your stewardship portfolio look like? All right. That looks like a technical little definition. I just kind of threw that together real quickly. I don't know much about finances, but I'm told that we should take a look from time to time at our own portfolio, what we've done for eternity. We are told in society that we're not being very responsible if we don't give some thought to our futures. There was a commercial years ago of a young lady. In this commercial, she was about 25 years old, and they were saying, if Susan would put aside just this small amount of money a month, what would she have at retirement? And while she's walking in the world and while she's talking and talking about Susan, the numbers are rolling up above her head. And when she retires with just this mere pittance, putting it aside each month, beginning when she's 25, she'll have a few million dollars by the time she retires. The question I want to ask today is, if we're interested in putting aside for retirement, in other words, we work on average, we work for about 50 years to save for what the statistics say will be about 10 to 15 years of life average beyond retirement. Our life goal as adults is to work for 50 to live for 10 or 15. And what you're told is you're not responsible if you're not sending things ahead. All right, here's my question to you. How responsible are we if we've sent nothing ahead for eternity? If you're going to save 50 for 15 and you can affect eternity, not your salvation, but what you do afterwards determines the capacity to which you'll enjoy eternity, that classic category we call crowns or rewards. What are you sending ahead for eternity. You're saving now for 15 years on average later. What are you doing for all of eternity? Here's some areas. You've heard the famous T's. First of all, our time. Paul says, most of my verses here are from Paul playing on his text in 1 Corinthians 3. Ephesians 5:16, making the most of your time. This is that passage in the King James which says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. First of all, what have you done with your time? So when you think stewardship, a lot of us think money. Oh, wow. I don't have any. I guess that lets me out of this deal. No, there's many ways to serve the Lord, and here's one. Making the most of your time. Here's another one. Our talents. This verse in Ephesians 4:12 is in the middle of a text on spiritual gift, on spiritual gifting. And Paul says the purpose of a spiritual gift is to prepare God's people for works of service. So how about using our time? You say, well, don't have any money to spare. Or, I don't have any time to spare. Okay, well, which of these, or maybe more than one, can we invest for eternity? Making the most of your time, using your talents to prepare God's people for works of service, and lastly, our treasures. Paul says, 1 Timothy 6, be generous and willing to share. Now, I wanted to give some thoughts to each of these. I read an article some time ago where the author said that he thinks from a biblical viewpoint, you basically have two paths to take to do this. Two biblical paths. Here's what they both have in common. Live modestly. We are not living in a very modest time in society. I was telling my family this week, we were telling each other, you know how you know when you live in a one way to know you live in a material time? When it comes time for Christmas, and nobody knows what to tell anybody else what to give because everything's pretty much lined up. It's like, I don't know, let me really think. I'll come up with something. There's nothing wrong with buying gifts, and I'm not trying to imply that. But we are a society where happiness is often judged by what I have and what I'm going to do. The Bible teaches a different method. And this article said this. Two ways to go about this biblically, as this scholar thought. One was that they both have in common, as I said, to live modestly. And the one model is to only make enough to be able to live modestly and commit your time to the Lord. If you can live on 20 hours a week, great. Commit 20 hours or 25 hours a week to the Lord and service. The other model is to live modestly, to make as much as you can, and to give all the extra, not just 10%, to give it all away. A few months ago, I had the privilege of running into a realtor up in Canada. I was up there at a college, and I met this fellow. And he's been reading Randy Alcorn. If any of you have been reading Randy Alcorn, he's a best-selling author today who talks a lot about our investment portfolios and eternity. And he said, the realtor said this. He said, my goal is to work long hours, to make a lot of money, and to give 50% of my income away. He said, think about something. He said, if Randy Alcorn's right, and what I do determines how I enjoy eternity. He said, if that's correct, I would be an idiot not to send a lot more ahead than I'm doing. Now, there's another side issue here. Is our rewards totally for me, and is this a me thing? And it definitely isn't. I cannot discuss that today, but I will say this. Rewards do not have to be a selfish search whatsoever. And for now, I'll just say this. Jesus and Paul both command us to set forth our treasures in heaven. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Paul says in the rest of that verse right there in 1 Timothy 6, he says, lay up treasures for yourself an eternity where life is truly life. So all I'll say right now is there must be a non-selfish way to do this. And just a thought. When we have a worship service like we had this morning, and I agree with Rich, I just love the worship service here at Grace. But when you're standing next to somebody, maybe sometimes someone's worship cup, let's say, is half full, and somebody else's is full, and you're both enjoying it, but you just look at that person next to you, and they seem to be getting more out of the service. I mean, you know, you're getting a lot, but this person just looks like, and you just want to make a mental note to say, wow, what was going on with you today? Maybe heaven's like that. I've got a feeling that rewards have to do with capacities to enjoy, capacities to grow, capacities to serve. I think that's what rewards are about. It definitely does not have to do with the size of my emerald versus the size of your emerald. That definitely is not what it's about. But I think it has to do with capacities in heaven. And back to this Canadian realtor, his point was, I would be silly not to send a lot more ahead for eternity. But those two ideas, make as much as you can and give away as much as you can, or make as little as you can to live modestly and give your time away. It's not just money. We're talking about your time, and we're talking about your talents. Here's some principles. Here's some things I think we can agree on. We do all to God's glory. That's an important principle. Secondly, God and his kingdom should be placed above earth. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Colossians 3:2 is one of those neat verses that to see it is to memorize it. Paul says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. That's simple. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. There's definitely some priorities here. It's for God's glory. Heaven is above earth, and persons are to be valued above things. In a context of talking about eternity and rewards, in Galatians chapter 6, after just saying those who reap for the kingdom will enjoy eternal life, Paul says, let's do good to all, but especially those of the household of faith. There's a priority. There's a list for you. Let's do good to all, but especially those of the household of faith. All right, let's go through each of these. Time, talent, and treasures, and my goal today is simply to make some suggestions to let you think through your private stewardship portfolio. How can we evaluate our time? I got a page a couple weeks ago from a great organization. Their name is Search. And they had an end-of-the-year evaluation. I confess, that's where I got the idea for this. It's just good sometimes to see in front of you and march through and answer some of these questions. Okay. First of all, take some prayerful inventory. Does your life, we're talking time now, time, does your life reflect eternal values? Or does it reflect something else? Does your life reflect eternal values?